most SharePoint framework developers, you've been there. You've got a web part or a SharePoint framework extension that expects a list to exist on the site for it to work. But how do you get that list created? It's a common question, and it's one that a student of my Mastering the SharePoint Framework course recently asked in our student community. Now, his question included a good list of a couple different options. Now, I prefer to include the code within the component. When the component loads in the page, it does a very quick check to see if the dependency is going to be present. And if it isn't, it can either automatically provision the list if the user has permissions to create the list, or get someone else to create it by triggering the process. But my student brings up a really good point. If that code is only run one time, do we really need to include it in the bundle? Usually I'd say it's not going to have much of an impact to be that concerned about. But if there's a lot of code involved in the provisioning, maybe you don't want that. Thankfully, there's a very easy solution using Webpack's code splitting feature. Now stick around if you want to see how this works and how you can implement it in your SharePoint framework projects. Hey, I'm Andrew. This episode is also available as a video on my YouTube channel and an article on my site. Check the show notes for links to these and other resources. And be sure to check out my biweekly newsletter, where I talk about the same topics and share the most important news in the Microsoft 365 and Microsoft Azure space for full-stack developers, and is delivered straight to your inbox. Now, Webpack has supported code splitting going back to the very first version, but it wasn't very easy to implement. Thankfully, it's much easier today. The way it works is a special code comment can be used to instruct Webpack to put a module with our code in a separate chunk from the main bundle. This keeps the main bundle for our component as small as possible. But when the execution of the code reaches that module, Webpack is going to dynamically load our module on the fly. And this way, your provisioning code will only load when you run it, but it's still in the same project. It's the best of both worlds. Now, before we look at the code, let's see this in action. Now, in my course, I have a sample web part that I like to use to demonstrate how to use the SharePoint Framework's SP HTTP client API to call the SharePoint REST API to read and write to SharePoint lists. But for that to run, I need a list with a very specific schema for my web part to work. Now, before I add the web part to the page, notice how I've cleared the browser's DevTools network tab, and I've set the filter to only show JavaScript files. Now, after I select the web part, notice two JavaScript files have been loaded on the page. The SharePoint Framework web part bundle, the SharePoint HTTP client web part.js file, that's the main component. And then I also have my string localization file right here. But when I click the Create List button, notice how that triggers a chunk file, chunk.listmanagerservice.js, is going to load. Now, in a real SharePoint framework web part, I'd probably do this within the web part's property pane or use a pop-up to give the user more details of how this works and what permissions are required. But for this simple solution and just demo, this works just fine. So let's see how we implement this. Now, there are two ways that you can implement code splitting in your SharePoint framework project. Now, the first one is to modify the Webpack configuration object that the SharePoint Framework build toolchain creates when you run the gulp bundle command. The Webpack configuration object, it includes an entry object that specifies where Webpack should start in creating the bundle. Now, normally, it looks like what you see here. Now, this is just an excerpt of what the configuration object is that the toolchain creates. But what I want you to notice here is that I have this point here that is pointing to a JavaScript file that is being generated from the gulp build process. And then the output process tells it what file name do I want to create and where do I want to create this. And that's going to end up going inside of our dist folder because this is what's going to trigger Webpack to start walking through this file, doing all the import of pulling all the other dependencies. And then it's going to save all of those into a bundle called SharePoint HTTP client webpart.js. In order to use code splitting, you're going to use the Webpack split chunks plugin that's been moved to the optimization.splitchunks property within our configuration. You can do that like you see here. So notice I have two entry points that I'm going to define. One entry point is going to be pointing to the same JavaScript file for my web part. And then I have another one that's called chunk.listservicemanager that's pointing to a specific file, this listservice.js. I've also changed the output to set the file name equal to whatever the name of the file is that we're generating, .js. And then finally, I'm using the optimization split chunks to say I want to split everything up into separate files based on the way I define these. Now, while I've shown you these two Webpack configuration objects, you don't normally see these as part of the SharePoint framework bundling process or the build toolchain. The gulp bundle task creates these objects in memory first before it uses them and passes them into Webpack to let Webpack do the bundling process. Now, the downside to this approach with SharePoint Framework projects is that you have to hook into the Webpack configuration object creation process. Then you have to take the configuration that the SharePoint Framework toolchain is going to create. You have to make your edits to it within your gulpfile.js and then return the modified configuration back to the toolchain. Now, while you can do that, it's a little cumbersome, but there's an easier way that works in this scenario, and it does so without having to modify the Webpack configuration object. You can use magic comments in Webpack. Webpack's magic methods enable developers to do some Webpack configuration within your code instead of using the configuration object. Now, in the case of SharePoint Framework projects, this is a little bit easier to implement because modifying the Webpack configuration object is a much more involved process. So let's see how to use a magic comment to create and dynamically load a chunk. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put all the code that I want to keep separate from my main bundle in its own module or file. Now, in my case, I've created this file called listManagerService.ts, and I added it to the project using the following code. Now, there's nothing special about this file other than it's kind of quick and dirty with minimal error handling. It's just a regular class with a single method called createList that'll create our list. Now, the second step is to use this file, but I only want to do it on demand. Now, my SharePoint Framework's web part, the render method, includes a button that when clicked, it's going to run a method called createList within my web part. Now, the createList method is where the code splitting and my dynamic loading is going to happen. Now, usually when I want to use this list manager service, I'd import it in the web part using a standard import statement like you see here. But in my case, I want to configure Webpack to not only keep it in its own bundle or chunk, but I want to import it only under specific conditions. So what I'm going to do is I need to get rid of this list manager service import because otherwise Webpack would go import that in the bundle. But instead, if I scroll down to our create list, here you can see that immediately before I import it, I'm including a comment with the Webpack chunk name magic comment. And I specify that I want to call the chunk list-manager-service. Then, after I load the module, I then use it like I normally would by newing up an instance of the service before I call it. That's all there is to it. Now, when I bundle a project, Webpack is going to create a separate chunk file called chunk.listmanagerservice.js, and it's going to reference it within the main bundle. In fact, you can see this in the project's dist folder. If I come down to my main bundle, which is the SharePoint Webpack, the SharePoint HTTP client web part, and if I do a search for my list service manager, you can see right here, my list manager service is listed and Webpack is going to reference this whenever I need to import this other chunk. Now to prove that this is just a Webpack feature that has nothing to do with the SharePoint framework, take a look at the generated manifest file for the component. Notice that the loader config property that's used to configure the module loader in the SharePoint framework runtime in the browser has no reference to our chunk file. Just keep in mind, this technique of code splitting, it's not unique to this one scenario. I've used this for really large single-page applications that've got a lot of React components and use loads of UI components or third-party libraries. It's a great solution when you have a portion of your app that only needs to load under certain conditions. So what do you think about optimizing your SharePoint Framework projects using Webpack's code splitting technique? Let me know by leaving a comment on my site, on social media, or below the video associated with this episode. You'll find all the links in the show notes. And let me know if you want to see more videos about the SharePoint framework. I'm Andrew Connell. Thank you for watching, and I hope to see you in my next video.